If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. This will be the scripture reading for this morning's lesson. Acts 11, 13, verses 13 through 18. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, "Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring to you a message through which you and your household will be saved." As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us in the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized him with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Then when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life."
Thank you for that reading, Grant. Thank you for following along in your Bible. Thank you for being in our worship assembly today. You may be here because you saw the sign on the road, and our sign outside says, "Everyone welcome." Everyone is indeed welcome here. Everyone is indeed welcome to hear the message of God from His Word, as His plan of salvation is open to every person. We're delighted that you chose to be here. Maybe you came at the invitation of someone today. Maybe you are traveling and found us on the internet or by word of mouth. You knew that we were located here. Whatever conditions prevailed in your life for you to make the decision to be here today, to worship God with us and to study God's Word and exalt our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for that. We're very encouraged by that, and we appreciate your being with us so very much. One thing that you will notice here is that we respect and honor the Word of God. We let it guide us in everything. We're open that if anyone can point out to us something that we've missed or overlooked or we're not exactly correct with the Scriptures on, we'd be open to receive that. That has to be the attitude of God's people. Especially so with so many confusing concepts and so many confusing speakers in the world saying things that are different than God tells us in His Word. We strive very diligently here to make sure that we follow God's Word in everything. I pledged myself to that, and I'm associated with brethren here that will help me to make sure that I teach only the things that are in the Scriptures. And I thank them for that. This morning, what I want to focus with you on is the expression in this passage of Scripture where Peter said, "I remembered the word of the Lord," how he used to say, and then he tells what he remembers here, and he records what he remembers that the Lord had said, which fits the setting where Peter found himself on this occasion in the household of Cornelius preaching the gospel to Gentile people, something Peter wasn't really used to doing. There are several passages that we could look at that will show us this phrase, "I remembered the word of the Lord," or an admonition by some writer of the New Testament, "Remember what the Lord said? Remember the word of the Lord? Remember what he taught?" There are many of those. And they're all worth looking at. And they're all worth appreciating. But I selected this one as representative of a situation where Peter finds himself remembering what the Lord said. You and I need to remember what the Lord said. We need to know our Bibles very well. If we're going to work in the kingdom, if we're going to make sure that we're right before God, and we're going to make sure that our example and our teaching is right before other people, we have to know what God's book says. Paul wrote to Timothy and said in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 15, reminding him that from childhood he had known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to say about this sacred scripture that Timothy remembered and Timothy was taught since he was a young person, that all scripture inspired by God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. What a wonderful passage that is that tells us that one of the main purposes of the Word of God. Of course, you and I need to learn it. Of course, we need correction from it. We need to just make sure that our attitude is such that we will allow it to teach us and we will allow it to correct us. Two things are found necessary for holding things that are important in our memory. Number one, we have to clearly understand them. And number two, they have to be sufficiently repeated to us. Because we're forgetful creatures, aren't we? We need to understand, and we need things repeated to us. It's found that we hold things in memory dependent on the amount of attention that we have given to them. In preparing the apostles to continue the Lord's work on this earth after he ascended back into heaven according to God's plan, the Lord not only taught them initially God's word, but he promised that after he left, that he would send back to them a comforter, an advocate, the Holy Spirit, as you and I see it defined in the scriptures of God, particularly in the Gospel of John, the one who would comfort their emotions of the Lord's not with us anymore. What do? We're afraid. What are the things that we need to teach? How can we know that we're going to be right in doing it? The Lord said, I'm going to send you what you need. And let's call him the comforter, because you're going to receive a great amount of comfort. When you're called upon to stand before men and proclaim the things of God, the comforter will give those to you, and he will instruct you what you're to speak and what you're to say. He would bring to your remembrance all that I said to you, he told them in John 14 and verse 26. He also specifically told them that he was teaching them things to come, so that when those things came to pass and they realized that in their lives, they would remember the word of the Lord. John 16, verses 1 through 4. Christians need to know their Bibles very well. Christians may need Bible knowledge at any moment of life, to find the help that they need, and also to be a source of help to other people. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, Paul said to Timothy, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation for yourself and also those who hear you. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to these faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. We need the knowledge. We need the knowledge that comes from God in order that we can help ourselves. We can be the kind of people that God wants us to be. We can be the bright shining light, the salt of the earth, the representative of the believer in this life, the one who's seeking to live as Christ lived. We can be that. And then we can encourage other people by our example and by our teaching to be the very same thing. Christians are helped through many difficulties in this life and many trials in this life by being able to say, when those things fall on us, I remember what the Lord said. I remember what God taught me. I remember. Obviously, this need is something that comes through study and meditation. A man has what he needs only if he's previously packed his bags. A man has only what he needs if he's put those items in his first aid kit when he travels through difficult territory and treacherous terrain. Man has what he needs when he gets on the train and visits a foreign city and opens his suitcase for something to wear the next day. It's got to be in there to begin with. We have what we need if we'll implant the Word of God in our hearts. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 1 and verse 2 that the blessed man is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He lets it fill his heart and absorb his mind. He thinks about what God has said to him. In Acts 17 and verse 11, we read about noble-minded people who, when the gospel was presented to them in Thessalonica, are more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word with eagerness. It was declared to be the word of God, so they were eager to receive it. But notice, not only was their eagerness something to appreciate in this passage, but also in their eagerness, they were examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They compared them with the ultimate standard of right and wrong. Also obvious is that God's Word needs to be inside us when we need it. It needs to be there when we need it, before we need it. The well-furnished Christian's memory happens by no accident. Bags don't pack themselves. The first aid kit doesn't come readily supplied. We need to make sure of those things beforehand. It's a part of the Christian's life. And therefore, for ourselves and for those for whom we have an influence in this life, we come under solemn and weighty responsibilities to put something in our hearts from God's Word that we can live it and share with other people. So in the lesson this morning, I want to make a few points with you. The first one is when we should do our duty. Remembering the word of the Lord can constrain us when it comes to our duty and doing our duty. The word of the Lord can keep us from standing in God's way, to use the New American Standard Bible's expression in our text. Notice in Acts 11:16, I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave to us also, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? I remembered the word of the Lord, so who was I that I should stand in God's way? Who was I to prevent what God was doing with these people? The word of the Lord and remembering the word of the Lord constrained Peter. We may be reluctant to do our duty because of we grow apathetic. We grow to where we don't care about something. Or we're afraid. We fear something. Or we have a sense of prejudice about us. Or we become discouraged. And we're somewhat reluctant to do what God expects us to do in this life. But remembering the word of the Lord can help us to act. And it can help us to constrain ourselves. Furthermore, secondly, when we're tempted, and we will be tempted by our adversary, when we are tempted, remembering the word of the Lord can contain us. It can hold us together. And boy, we need to be held together when we're tempted by the Lord, by Satan, don't we? We need to be held together. It can hold us together. It can keep us within God's limits. It can restrain us. David wrote in the Psalms a long time ago in 119 verse 11, your word have I treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. Remembering the word of the Lord can contain us and hold us together and keep us in God's limits when we face temptation in this life. Consider this with me, if you will. When did remembering the word of God provide a great victory for Jesus? When did remembering the Word of God provide a great victory for Jesus during his lifetime? I direct your attention to Matthew 4, verses 1 through 4, when Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was very hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This trial that Jesus had to endure in the wilderness should serve to prove Jesus' character as one who was sent from God and as he began his ministry. True sonship really required, didn't it, that the Son be faithful to the Father under all circumstances, submitting to him in all things, no matter what the cost? Wouldn't that be the requirement of a Son of God? Doesn't that point our attention to Jesus as the Son of God, who learned obedience by the things which he suffered, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8? Jesus demonstrates his worthiness to be the Son of God by responding to the test in the wilderness with fidelity and faithfulness to his God. Instead of using his divine power to resist the temptations, Jesus met those temptations the very same way that every other human being has to meet those temptations, by relying on the power of God's Word. Do you see that? Do you see how Jesus met the temptation every single time? The very first words out of his mouth, "It is written." What has God said about it? That's where the power is. That's what you and I need to rely on. Further, think about the skill which our Lord, in his time of temptation, the skill that he exercised in fetching the right weapons to use when under attack. The weapons from the Scripture. The armory of armories. The most powerful stockpile of spiritual weapons that you could possibly have in this life come from the Holy Scriptures. Jesus recognized that. He knew that was the way to defeat the enemy, the adversary, and silence the adversary. He did. It reveals to us the fact that his memory had been well stored with Scripture during his childhood and during his youth. He had good parents who taught him. The Scripture of God, well furnished, was Jesus. We can do no better service for young people than fill their minds with what God has said in his book. A little bit here, a little bit there, it all accumulates into a powerful arsenal to be able to handle the trials of life and the temptations that come from Satan to every man. When you and I are tempted, let us remember the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus, unlike ancient Israel, demonstrated the appropriate trust in God. You and I need to trust God. Jesus didn't grumble against God as ancient Israel did. You and I don't need to grumble against God. Jesus did not take matters into his own hands as many in ancient Israel tried to do and were unsuccessful. He did not exploit the power of the Holy Spirit, which was given to him at his baptism, in order to serve his purpose of overcoming temptations. Instead, he humbly trusted that God would fulfill his promises. God had promised him, "I'll take care of you." And he fully trusted God to do that and provide for his needs. You know, as Christians, you and I will encounter various trials of life. That's what James is talking about in James chapter 1 and verse 2, when he says we'll encounter various trials. How do we respond? Do we quit? You know, there's a lot of people that the slightest little bit of difficulty comes, they'll just quit. Jesus talked about those people in the parable of the sower, which we'll study at another time, but this is a real thing. People are faced with trials and difficulties sometimes just quit. We don't need to quit. What we need to do is remember the word of the Lord when faced with those trials and difficulties. Galatians 6 and verse 9, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Do we get too involved in this life? A lot of people do. If we get too involved The Word of God will be pointing the way out. It'll be telling us you're getting too involved in this life. It'll let us know. Remember the Word of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. Why? So he may please the one that enlisted him as a soldier. So he may please his Lord is the idea. Do we compromise a little bit with false brethren? Let us consider God's Word if we're tempted to compromise. Paul said, we did not yield in subjection to them, not even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Paul said, we didn't compromise our convictions. We knew who had the truth. We knew we had it because we heard it from him, and that's exactly what we were going to stand for, no matter what anybody else said. That's the way Paul handled it. He remembered the word of the Lord. There has to be some value in that for you and I, doesn't there? Remembering the word of the Lord. Remember the word of the Lord when our faith is challenged by other people. Remembering the word of the Lord can confirm our faith. Yes, indeed, we're walking in the light as Christ is in the light. Because here it is in his book. You know, no man can look at the future and be able to foretell what sort of trials and difficulties that life may present for him, or what kind of moral demands will be placed on him in various situations he goes through in life. Take any life, just any life, and it will be found to be, sooner or later, full of a lot of surprises, won't it? Would you look back on your life and say, you know, there are some things I was really surprised about in life. And probably you can come up with a pretty long list, can't you? Surprising things. Things you didn't really expect. And it's a very great thing to ensure that we're reasonably prepared for all possible situations of life. Peter could not have imagined himself in the household of Cornelius the Gentile, preaching the gospel to him, but that's exactly where God in his providence placed him. Peter didn't ever expect that. God has seen what great benefit we have by being warned ahead of time concerning trials that we will face in life. Jude 16 talks about the grumblers and people finding fault and following after their own lusts, speaking arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage. And then he says, but you, beloved, ought to remember the words which were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you in the last time, there will be mockers following after their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. When we're flattered by scoffers, of those who scoff our own simple faith, let us remember the word of the Lord. Do we allow bad company to challenge the faith within us and to corrupt our righteousness? Let us remember the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12, as Christ is preached, he's been raised from the dead. How is it that some of you are saying there is no resurrection from the dead? Paul faced this challenge in his day. You and I are going to face challenges to our faith by people that we go to school with, by people that we work with, by our neighbors down the street or maybe next door, or by people that we talk to. We're going to face challenges to our faith. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. We don't want to hang around bad company. We'll be affected adversely by it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16, avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. We don't want to hang around that. Their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Paul said there are a lot of challenges to our faith out there. There are a lot of challenges to our faith that can exist in the local assembly. When Paul left the Ephesian elders, he said, I'm going to tell you something, and you better be ready for this. Men, even among your own selves, are going to arise, and they're going to be like wolves, and they're going to tear the sheep apart. Paul warned them ahead of time. Is there any good benefit in being warned ahead of time of dangers and hazards that can come our way if we're not careful and attentive to what the right thing to do is? Surely there is. We don't want our faith to be upset. When our faith is challenged, remembering the word of the Lord can confirm that our faith is there and it's alive and active and growing stronger all the time. Because we believe God, we take Him at His word, we trust Him. Fourthly, when we've sinned, remembering the word of God will convict us. You know, James describes this type of situation where we go to the word of the Lord, and it's like looking in the mirror. And we see something that is amiss, and we see a blemish, and we see some dirt on the side of our face. What do? Do we use what is shown to us in the mirror to correct it? Or do we just say, oh well, and walk away? Caught in Satan's snare, under pressure from the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you and I may fall into sin. That's no shocking news to any of us, is it? But remembering the word of the Lord can turn us around. That's the only way out. Peter was in trouble. Peter failed to watch. Peter failed to pray. Jesus told him in Gethsemane, watch and pray. Peter failed for whatever his reasons were at the time and whatever conditions he was under. You know, he was really tired. You know, he was really sleepy that day. He really needed to rest. Jesus didn't say, now the prescription you need is first rest, and then you can watch and pray later when you're refreshed. The Lord told them exactly what to do for the situation they were in. Watch and pray. Peter failed in that. He didn't watch. He didn't pray. He let his guard down. He became overconfident. His boastful attitude that he carried with him for such a long time kicked in to try to resolve the situation that way, and he ended up falling by denying the Lord. What if he had remembered what the Lord said? Watch and pray. And in Luke 22, 61 and 62, we're told this. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Pardon me for not having that scripture up. There it is. The Lord turned around, looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he told him, before a rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times. And then, what did Peter do? He went out and he wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. All four gospel writers tell the story of Peter's denial. And all four gospel writers tell the story of Peter's very swift repentance. But we owe the knowledge of this turning and looking at Peter to Luke only. Luke only records that. The other writers connect the sudden change in Peter with his hearing the rooster crow. But according to Luke, there were two causes cooperating to bring about Peter's sudden repentance. Notice, we cannot doubt that it was the Lord's look enforcing the fulfillment of his prediction of the rooster crowing and then you'll deny me. We can't deny that. But notice that Luke records Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Very important. When we're discouraged, do people get discouraged sometimes? When we're discouraged, it's helpful for us to do what? What will bring us out of that discouragement? Paul said in Romans 15 and verse 4, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. When we're bereaved, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13, Paul said, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those that who have fallen asleep, so that you'll not grieve as the other people do who have no hope, as the rest who are without hope. So when we're bereaved, what do we need to do? Remember the word of the Lord. When our loved ones are sick, James talks about in James 5, 13 and following, prayer is mentioned, singing praises, remembering the truth and not straying from it are mentioned by James there. What about when we're mistreated by other people? Jesus said, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. What about if things happen to us in this life where you and I can rightly say of all the bad that's come our way and all the trials that we're faced with, where our whole world is falling apart? Remember Job. Remember what's recorded for us in God's book. Job's world fell apart. His recourse was to remember the word of the Lord and hold diligently, fastly, firmly to it. What one point can you take away from this lesson this morning? Let it be this. Remember the word of the Lord. Every place that you find yourself in life, every situation, and all situations are different, and all people are different. Trials come upon some, and they never come on others. Difficulties and problems, some people seem to have an overabundance of. We've coined a phrase, when it rains, it pours, which describes, there's a trial that comes on me, and guess what? Before it's over, here comes three more. What do we do? How do we survive? The Lord's given us the prescription. What do we do? How do we make it? How do we retain our faith? How is it we can be faithful to God? Remember the word of the Lord. Remember the word of the Lord. Look in your concordance sometime and see how many times you find the expression, remember the word of the Lord. Remember what the Lord said. You know, it's somewhat interesting. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, where all of Jesus' words are in red, you've noticed this probably more quickly than those who don't have a red letter edition. But thumb through the book of Acts, looking for red. And there's only one place you'll see it. And when you see it, notice the expression. Remember what the Lord said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Remember what the Lord said. They're powerful words. Powerful words. And I hope you learn to love them and appreciate them as time goes on. Spend time with your Bible. Meditate on it. Oh, how to bless you. If you're in our assembly today and you're not a Christian, we're pulling for you. We want you to be a Christian because we know that's where the abundant life now and in the life to come resides, by being a Christian, living for God, serving Him and His kingdom, and serving brothers and sisters in Christ, and serving mankind in general by being a good example of what it is to live for God. We can assist you as a person who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, today. You've come to that because you've remembered the Word of the Lord. And you've studied the Word of the Lord. And you see what it says and you believe what it says. No other writing is like the Holy Scriptures. Men could never come up with something like that. You realize the power of it. The power of the great love of God that Jesus sent His came through willingness. God sent His only Son. Jesus willingly came, took the form of flesh. Who would do that? One who loves us greatly. And one who knows that God's plan provides the way. And it's a sacrificial way that Jesus gave His life to forgive us of our sins. And not only that, He was raised from the dead to show us that there is a resurrection from the dead. And our spirits do live on after they leave the body at physical death. Do you believe that? If you do, you'll repent of your sins, the things that God defines as sin in His book. You'll want to put those off. And you'll want to put on a new man, made after the image of Christ, the forgiven man, the man with his robes washed pure in the blood of the Lamb. You'll want to be that person. So you'll repent of sins. And you'll confess Christ to anyone you possibly can. And you'll follow the prescription that the Lord gave in the first century when disciples were first admitted to the kingdom of God and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ by being baptized in water. Raised out of a watery grave to walk in newness of life. If that's your desire today, we can help you with that. And you can take care of it in just a few minutes this morning. It's happened before here. We can do it again this morning. There's a baptismal pool right behind this wall. We can baptize you into Christ. You can be raised to walk in newness of life, living for God. And the hope of heaven is real and it's yours. And as long as you live life, remember the word of the Lord and be faithful to it. God will grant you a glorious entrance into His eternal kingdom, just as Peter guaranteed and what Peter wrote. Can we help you with that today? If we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing the invitation song.